Good morning, Masechet Erichin Daf Kafchet. And this year has been recorded in the Beit Midrash Enklin Heisel in Yeshiva College. I guess this starts. So we're starting on the Mishnah. You're up to the Mishnah. On Kafchet Amud. Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah is like this. Machim Adam Mitzono, Mibkaro, Mibadam, Mishavchota, Baknanim, Umizdach Uzato. The Mishnah is discussing over here. You've seen this is a new paragraph. The paragraph discussing Chayrim. As opposed to up until now, we've spoken all the time about Makdish or Erchin, we've said Erchin alai. The Mishnah's up until now we've spoken about it. The person says the value of something is of mine, etc. Now, this parak is talking about a Chayrim. A Chayrim, the literal translation for Chayrim means like destruction, right? Or, as far as the person who's making the donation is concerned, his asset is destroyed from his purpose, and therefore it's no longer of any value to him, and he's given it over to the Beit HaMikdash or to the Kohanim. So we'll see soon. There's a difference about whether a person makes a chayim without specifying who it goes to. It goes to the Beit HaMikdash or to the Kohanim. And it has implications whether you can redeem it or not. We'll come to that later on at the end of the daf. So the Mishnah starts with a person can make a chayim either on his part of his sheep or his sheep or his cattle or his servants and maidservants which are knanim, specifically non-Jewish servants. Or Mizdeach Uzato, or from his familial heritage land, right? That's not land that he bought, that's land that he inherited in Israel. V'imichrim et kulam, eino muchramim, di Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said like this, that when he makes that chayrim, he could only dedicate or donate a portion of it. If he gives it all, it's not counted. Very important, right? If you look at Rashi here, Rashi says, mitzono, meaning a bit of his tzon, from his sheep, right? Harei harei chayrim, v'noten, and then he gives it to the kohen. And Amr Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah says on that, ma'im legavoa, and Adam Rashai Lachrim called the Chasav. We see that when a person comes to donating something to the temple, to the Beit Midrash, to the Tokarim, to Hashem, he can't give all of his assets. Alachat kama v'chama sheya Adam chas al nechasav. A person has to worry about his own assets. So it seems, so we're seeing, he's giving basically like a Musar avortavia. Just like the Torah limits you in terms of giving chayrim to the Beit HaMikdash, so too you've got to be careful, look after your money and not give it. Rashi says, "Shelo yebazbezam hedyoto." Don't waste it, just giving it away to people, to simple people. How much more so if you can't give it to the Beit HaMikdash? Okay, the Gemara says like this. So where do we know that we've got this limitation, not being able to give all of our assets away, and we have to limit only a portion? He says, Torah, we've got a brighter. And the brighter says like this, "Mikola shelo." Right, it brings a pasuk. The Gemara here quotes a pasuk, and that pasuk is a pasuk in Vayikra that says like this: Ach kol chayim, of all the chayim, ach. We'll see ach in a minute. Is a limiting word, but ach kol chayim, any chayim that I give, mikol asher of any that he owns, me adam from a person, of an animal, of a field, etc. Lo yimachem lo gel kol achem kol kavshim goes to Hashem. So the writer says, what does it mean mikol asher lo? From what he has. V'lo kol asher, not everything that he has. And then he says as well, me adam, from a person, if he has slaves, from his people, v'lo kol adam, not all his slaves, mi behema, from his animals, v'lo kol behema, mishda achuza, from his inherited field, v'lo kol shda achuza. So that's basically the source. The pasuk says, in every one of these examples, a limit, from these, meaning not all of them as well. So yachol, so the brighter asks the question, yachol lo yachrim, v'im yachrim, yeh muchamin. So maybe that's just ideal. That lechat chile, you aren't allowed to give a chayrim on everything. But if you did, it would work. Tamud lomar ach. Right, that's why the contra Rabbi Eliezer, the pasuk starts off by saying ach. Right, dear Rabbi Eliezer. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, what does ach mean? Ach means achim v'rakin mi'utin. Come to limit you. So you might have thought that it would work. The pasuk starts off by saying ach kol chayrim. The ach of here says, no, it won't work. Okay, and then Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the brighter, carries on, just like we saw in the Mishnah, and says, "Ma im legavu and adam ashal lachim kol nechasav lachad chav mekama she adam chas al nechasav." So he ends off over here and saying, "So too, like we see that you aren't allowed to give all your stuff to the Beit HaMikdash. How much more so, you can't waste your stuff and just give it away. You've got to look after your own personal." So the Gemara asks a question and says like this. Whenever the Gemara says like this for tzricha that we need, there's an implicit question that's asked beforehand. If the pasuk says Mikol asher lo, everything that he has. So we see from everything that he has. Why does the pasuk have to carry on and say from people, from animals, from his field? We already said from everything that he has, which means from whatever you have, you can't give. You have to only give a portion. So why do we need the pasuk to waste words saying animal, person, field, etc.? So the Gemara says, no, we need it. Why the tzricha? Ikatav rachmane mikol asher lo. If the pasuk had just said that general introduction, that a person can't give a cheirim of everything that he has. So we had thought, Hamamina would have thought, called it leilo lachrim, that what can't he do? He can't give everything that he owns. Ah, avamin echad, but if he has lots of slaves and lots of animals and lots of sheep and cattle, etc., so he can't give all of that, but he can give all his slaves away, or all his animals away, or all his fields away, right? Katav rachmane me'adam velo kol adam. That's what the pasuk said. Not only can't you give everything away, but even within each category, you can't give the whole category away. Right? That's what it says, velo kol adam. And now, on the other hand, now whenever the Brayta teaches us a direction from the general to the limits, it says the other way around now. Now, why, if the pasuk, okay, so the pasuk could just have written, mi adam mi behema mi sadeh. Why is written, v'chol asher lo, that introductory verse at the beginning? So it says like this, if it had just written mi adam, so then we would have said, why can't you give all your slaves away? Because everyone needs slaves, right? I mean, we know that. You can't live without slaves. So you can't give away all your slaves. You've got to keep some slaves. Aval sadeh, but a field, the guy goes, look, I don't need a field, right? Why? Sagilei b'disturan. With a field, I don't have to own my own field. Look how Rashi explains the disturan. Shia aris lacherim. You could be a sharecropper. You could go do a deal with somebody else who's got fields and say to him, listen, I'll work for you and you give me a third or a 20% or a fifth of your produce. If the case, in the meantime, I can still exist. I don't need the fields, right? The pasuk had just said, okay, you know what? You have to keep your fields, and you can't have to keep all your slaves. And it just written fields and slaves, right? So he would have said, why are we going to limit there on fields and slaves? Mishum da'achichyuta, because both of them are crucial to live. They're essential for living, for livelihood. But my movables, if I've got an extra car or some watches or a nice pen collection, so they're no problem. Nichraminu kulu, that I can give away. Now, and then the Torah says, Trichi, you can't do any of that, and that's why it says, Mikol HaShelo, there's a limitation at the beginning that applies to everything you might have thought of, including each and every one of them, so we can't rationalize our way out and thinking that we are able to give some of those away. But now, if you noticed carefully, a pasuk that we read mentioned a list, and the list was Adam, meaning people, slaves, Behema, his animals, Umizdei Achuza. When we gave examples of, we just spoke about Adam, slaves, and fields. We never mentioned Brat, Behema. So the Gemara says, picks up a note that we left out that question. The Gemara says, Behema, Lamali. So if you've explained so nicely now why I need slaves, why I need fields, why do I need animals? Behema, why do I need that written in the Pasuk? He says, no, we need it in the Pasuk because of Lichtatai. We've got a Brayta. What does the Brayta say? The Brayta says as follows. There's a Brayta that asks the question. Yachol yachim Adam beno ubito avado v'shifchato avirim. So maybe a person, if you noticed, our Mishnah spoke specifically about sheep and cattle and his non-Jewish slaves, and his familial heritage land. It never spoke about land that he had bought, right? What about if I bought land from somebody else? Could I machrim that? We never discussed that. And we also never discussed children, right? So now, this writer, which is actually the next Mishnah coming up, the writer said like this, can a person make a cheirim? It was give to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Kohen, or to the Beit HaMikdash, his sons or daughters, or his Jewish servants, if he owns a Jewish slave for 6 years, right? Or stay miknato, land that he had acquired from somebody else for a limited period of time. Tamud lomar behema. That's why we need behema. The Torah says, look at the pasuk. The pasuk says behema animals. What is behema? Ma behema yesh lo shut limochra. Of course, she yesh lo reshut limochra. So we learn. A binyan av. How do you say that in English? A binyan av. We learn like an archetypal principle of what you can apply from one pasuk to the other from the word behema. What's behema? Behema is animal. Animal is something yours. You can sell it. So therefore, the fact that behema is written there comes to teach us you can only do a cheirim on things which you can sell. Things which you can't sell, you can't do a cheirim on. So the Gemara asked the obvious question. What's the obvious question? V'halo bito ketana yesh lo shut lemochra. Now we can't relate to that today, but from a Torah perspective, if you've got a young daughter, you can sell her to somebody as a slave. The idea there was that you'd help her get into a higher class and be hopefully they'd marry her and she'd be in a better family and looked after if you were poor and you couldn't afford her. So we have got a potential in the Torah to sell a daughter. So the Gemara says, but then it doesn't work because you're telling me now what I can and can't sell. I can sell a daughter, so therefore daughter, obviously, I can do a cherimon. The Gemara says, you're right. Talmud lomar behema. That's why we need behema. The Gemara accepts that argument and says, ma behema, yesh lo reshut lemochra le'olam. An animal you can sell forever. There's no limitation on how long you sell the animal. You're my cow, buy my cow, it's gone, yours forever. right? On a daughter, for example, you can't, because when she gets a certain age, if they haven't married or whatever, she can then do meal, right? She can be out of that deal. Also, only at a certain age you consider, you can't sell her at any age. So there's a limit on a daughter. So therefore, Behemoth tells you only things that you can freely sell at any given time for every period of time that you want. So too, you can only do a chayrim on things which you can sell freely at any given time and for however long you want. So that comes to tell us from Behema all the limitations on all the other stuff. Okay, so now we go back. The Mishnah carried on and said, "Am Rabbi Lazman Azaria, right? Im le gavoa namashai, etc." He said that if you can't give all your assets to gavoa, so much more so you've got to be careful not to waste your money. So Gemara says, "Really, what's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer in the beginning of the Mishnah, who said that you can't do a chayim on all your assets, to Rabbi Ben Azariah?" There's nice musar, but tachlis, they're saying the same thing, right? The Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, Hanu Tanakama, Rabbi Ben Azariah is Tanakama. They're saying the same thing. The Gemara says, no. Ike Rabbi Ila. There actually is a difference here. There's a halocha of Rabbi Ila. What did Rabbi Ila say? I'm Rabbi Ila. Right? And Rabbi Ila told Sot Gemara, this is Gemara in Ketubot, which says, Usha was a town where the Gemara speaks about a lot in Usha, like many decrees were made in Usha. Usha is a classic example, the Beit Din sat in Usha, and it said, Usha hit kinu habet takanot. So one of the takanot they made in Usha was, Hamebazbez, al yebazbez yoter michomesh. Look at Rashi, yeah? When you want to be mebazbez, mebazbez really means to waste or throw away. But yeah, we say, Hamebazbez la'anim, says Rashi. You want to give money to a poor. So you're feeling sorry for poor people, you want to give them money. Right, you shouldn't give away more than a fifth of your wealth. 20%. So the 20% limitation on stocker, basically. You shouldn't go and throw your money. You've got to be careful, look up money for yourself, give less than a fifth. Look at Rashi. And Rashi says, yeah, Chomesh, where does this fifth come from? The Grammy mi Yaakov, Dichtiv Bay, Train Isurin. Now, when it came to Yaakov, and he wanted to give away, why don't you do that now? So it limited there to 2/10. 2/10 is a fifth. And Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, so now we've got this halocha here at Usha of Rabbi Ila. So Rabbi Ila says you can't give more than a fifth. Now we've got a machloket between Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rashi helps out understanding how that applies. Rashi is like, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it played Rabbi Ila. Elazar ben Azariah, who said that you shouldn't give away too much of your money, right? He's referring to that halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, of Rabbi Ila, who says, don't give away too much, look after your wealth, limit it to giving it away to a fifth. Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana of the Mishnah, who says that you can't do chayrim on all your stuff, he doesn't care about a fifth. He says, I don't care how much you give away, as long as the only consideration I have is you leave something for yourself. So you might have 100 slaves, give 99 of them away. As long as you keep a slave for yourself, the halacha says, fine. Remember, he says, if you give it all away, as long as you haven't yet got to the stage where it's all, you say, okay, Rabbi Elazar Azari would be more machmir, and he would say, you have to limit it to maximum of fifth. That's basically nafka mina between Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And the Gemara is a story. Guy wanted to give away more than a fifth. And they wouldn't allow him. His friends wouldn't let him. And the Gemara says, Manu, who's this person? Rabbi Yeshvav. Right? Rabbi Yeshvav. So in the first understanding, it's Rabbi Yeshvav who wouldn't allow his friends to give the money away. I mean, there's another opinion that says Rabbi Yeshvav. It was Rabbi Yeshvav himself who wanted to give away more than a fifth. And his friends wouldn't let him. Who was his friend? Umanu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. So we see that it's really a serious halacha here, that Rabbi Akiva wouldn't allow them to give away more than a fifth. And that's really what Rabbi Yeshvav's account is. Okay, next Mishnah. So now the next Mishnah I mentioned earlier on, that bright we already saw about being able to machrim your sons or your daughters or your animals or your field that you had bought, or there was another exception there that we had. What was it? Was in the Mishnah, right? Your Jewish slaves and maid servants. So the Mishnah says like this: Hamachrim beno bito. If you do chayrim, or you give to the Beit Hamikdash or to Kohanim, your sons or your daughters or your avador v'shivto avrim, your Jewish servants, male or female servants, uzdei miknato, or a field that you had bought, right? Ein muchramim. The chayrim didn't work. Never took hold. And it's basically undone. Nothing happens. Right? Why? She'en Adam machrim davar she'en shelo. Because you can only give away to the Kohanim or to Beit HaKavayah, to the Beit HaMikdash, which is yours. Right? So you don't own your daughter, you don't own your son, you don't own your Jewish slaves. They all belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't send them away. And so too, stay miknato, a field that you bought, right? So in the time of a Yovel, or in Israel, for example, you wouldn't own the field forever. You'd have it 49 years maximum lease. If you bought it from somebody 20 years into the yovel, it's yours for 25 years. So you can't go and give it to Beit HaMikdash because it's not yours. It's basically just yours for a period of time. Shein Adam Achim Ravashon Shlo Hakohanim. And then the Mishnah carries on and says, Hakohanim Baleviim, both priests and Levites, and Machim, they can't do Chayim at all. That is as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says no. Hakohanim ein machrimim. Kohanim can't do chirim. Why can't they do chirim? Shacharamin shelahen. Because it says, tachas, end of the day, what's the purpose of them doing a chirim? And who do they give a chirim to? Now we're going to see, it's interesting. Bear in mind, this is Rabbi Shimon talking, right? We'll see later, not so straightforward. But Rabbi Shimon says, because when you make a chirim, who it goes to? It goes to the Kohen. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, yeah. Shacharamim shleim dichtiv kol cherem b'Yisrael. Every Israel goes to the Kohanim. V'chayvan dedidehu, since it's theirs, so mahana b'chach, what benefit are they getting from it? Right? Because you have a machrim, if they make a cherem, ihu gufei zachibay, they themselves get it. So it's like, I'm giving myself a gift. So what's a chokhmah? I'm making a gift. It doesn't make any sense. V'lo yahiv le'lo kohen echor. And they can't, Rashi says, give it to another coin. So they're limited, yeah. They basically want to give it to themselves. Right, so that's why Rabbi Shimon says Kohanim can't do Chayrim, but Levim Machrimim. But the Levi, we got no problem. Why? She'ena Chamin Shalem, because the Levi who gives a Chayrim doesn't hear it, goes to the Kohen. So that is Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda says that a Kohen and a Levi, neither of them can do Chayrim. Rabbi Shimon says that a Kohen can't do Chayrim, but a Levi can do Chayrim. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi enters the fold. Amar Rabbi enters the Machlok and he says, Nirin, Diva Rabbi Yehuda, Bekarakot. He says, I accept Rabbi Yehuda saying, when Kohanim and Levim can't do Chayrim with regards to land. In other words, he's saying that a Kohen and a Levi can't do Chayrim on land. Why? Sheneemar, because with regards to Levim. Now, Levim have got 48 cities. When Yeshua conquered the land of Israel, he was instructed, he set up 48 cities which belonged to the Levim. The Levim never owned land in Israel. They never had heritage, family plots like we did. Right? But they had 48 cities which were theirs. And not only were the cities theirs, but there was also all the land around it for a certain amount for the Levim to work and belong to them as well. So that land really had the status of them. And on that land there's a limitation. And that is what Rabbi brings the pasuk. He says like this, Ki achuzat olam hi lahem. Okay, that is a pasuk in Vayikra. It says, Uzdei migrash arehem, the fields around their cities, lo yimachir, they can't sell, ki achuzat olam hulahem, because it's not there, it's their achuzah forever. They can't sell it. Now remember, we learned in the previous Gemara that we got the word behemah in the pasuk, comes says, when can you do a cherem? On anything is like a behemah. What's a behemah? Something which you can sell. So if you can sell something, you can do a cherem. You can't sell, you can't do a cherem. So Levim aren't allowed to sell their land, so therefore they can't do cherem on their land. So he says, I understand why Levim can't do it and Kohanim can't do it with regards to land. And he says, and I accept, however, what Rabbi Shimon says with regards to metaltlin. But Rabbi Shimon, with metaltlin, there with movables, I accept what Rabbi Shimon said. Rabbi Shimon said, what? HaKohanim ein machrimim, right? Aval Levim machrimim, but Levim can machrim. So Rabbi says, I accept what Rabbi Shimon says that Levim can do cherem when it comes to metaltlin, to movables. She'ein acharamin shalem. Because at the end of the day, who are the Levim going to give their movables to? They're going to give it to a Kohen, not to themselves. So remember, what Rabbi Yehuda says, Levi and Kohen can't do Chayrim. Rabbi Shimon says that Kohanim can't do, Levi can do. Rabbi comes along and trusts them. He says, I accept what Rabbi Yehuda is saying with regards to land. So Rabbi Shimon is saying with regards to movables. Okay, the Gemara is like this. Rabbi Yehuda. So now we look at Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that neither Levi or Kohen can do a Chayrim. He says, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Bishloma Kohanim, I understand why Kohanim, Ein Machrimin, why not Shacharamin Shlein, because at the end of the day it becomes theirs. And a Levi'im, with regards to Levi'im, Rabbi Yehuda said across the board, Levi can't do Chayim at all. So he says, Bishloma Karkei lo Machrim. I understand Rabbi Yehuda even with regards to Levi'im, as far as land is concerned. Because of that pasuk which we saw, because of the pasuk that limits them on selling, they can't, so they can't do Chayim. What do I care about metaltlin? With regards to metaltlin, let them do a chayrim. Why is there a limit on the chayrim of metaltlin? The metaltlin isn't bound by that pasuk of the arem migrash of the city and the fields around it. So he says like this, Amar Kra. Right? What's Amar Kra? That he quotes at the end of the day, the Gemara quotes that pasuk and says, Mikol Shelo. If you look in the pasuk itself, the very first pasuk that we quoted at the beginning of the daf, we have the Ach Kol Cherem. So this whole Cherem, Asher Achim Shalem, which person will machrim to Hashem, Mikol Asher Lo, anything that he owns, and then it says, Me'adam u'behema u'misadeh achuzato. So the Gemara answers, what's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? Why can't the lady even make a Cherem on Metaltelin? Because the pasuk says, Mikol Asher Lo, everything that he owns, umiste achuzato and his field. And there we makish metaltin the karka. We learn a hekesh, right? A hekesh, we basically say, just like with the din of mekarkin of land, we can't do chayrim. So too, metaltin is mentioned in the same pasuk, coming to the same din, we can't do chayrim either. It is bound by the same laws as land on movables as well. So that we understand, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no land, no metaltin, because he learns the hekesh of basically saying, just like we've got a din in land, we've got the same din in movables. Now the Gemara moves on to ask Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who said that Kohanim no, but Levim yes. So Bishloma Kohanim, understand why he said Kohanim no, Kedamra. Because like we saw in the Pasuk, right? Or just like we said before, because Kohanim, at the end of the day, it goes back to themselves. El Levim, Bishloma Metaltelim, Lichrim, Delomakish. He says, I understand why you allow me to do Chayrim, Rabbi Shimon, with Levim on the immovables, because he doesn't learn the Hekesh. Remember, we said that there's hekesh of land to metaltlin. So he doesn't learn the hekesh. So he doesn't learn the hekesh, no problem. The pasuk speaks about land, not about metaltlin. Ela mekarki amai. But how come, right, with regard to land, right, that why can you do land? Because it seems Rabbi Shimon allows Levi'im to do cherem across the board, both on land and metaltlin. He says, metaltlin, understand, because you don't learn the hekesh to land. But with land, we've got another problem with the land. What's the problem with the land? Our original pasuk, which we quoted, Levim. The pasuk says, Amai, says, Haiketiv, Achuzat Olam Hilahem. The Levim have got a separate pasuk, which says that the land around their 48 Levi cities, they aren't allowed to sell. If you can't sell, you can't machrim. So how come over here, Rabbi Shimon seems to allow them to do chayrim on land? So the Gemara says like this now. You misunderstood what Rabbi Shimon meant. My machrimin, when Rabbi Shimon said that they can machrim, what did he actually mean? Nami de ka'amar metaltla. He really meant only movables. Right? He didn't really mean land. So the question is a good question. Right? There's no hekesh from land to movables. Movables are good. Movables they can do. But land, of course, even Rabbi Shimon is limited by that pasuk. But I don't understand. If it's so pashut, Rabbi Shimon meant only move, only land that they can't, movables that they can. So what do we have this story of Rebbe for? Because the Gemara brings at the end of the Mishnah. What does the end of the Mishnah tell us? Amar Rebbe. Rebbe comes in and says, Nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda b'makarki. I accept what Rabbi Yehuda is saying with regards to makarkin, that the Levim and Kohanim can't do makarkin. So there it seems that the Levim and the Kohanim, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, can't do land. Aval b'divrei Rebbe Shimon b'metalteli. Right? But with Rabbi Shimon, I understand that Rabbi Shimon, what he says with Rabbi Shimon, the God to Metatli, which says what? Michlau, Rabbi Shimon, Mekarki, Nami Kamar. I understand there what he says. Therefore, it seems from, as far as Rabbi is concerned, that Rabbi is limiting, agreeing with Rabbi Shimon only as far as Metatli is concerned. But Rabbi Shimon himself says even land. And that's why Rabbi comes and says, no, I don't agree with Rabbi Shimon with regards to land. I only agree with Rabbi Shimon with regards to movables. So what does Rabbi Shimon himself say? Clearly, he says also land. And our discussion until now wasn't about Rebbe, it was about Rabbi Shimon. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Shimon only meant land? Doesn't make sense, because in Rebbe doesn't make sense. So Gemara says, no. Hachikama, this is how you meant to actually understand the Mishnah. Amar Rebbe, what did Rebbe say? Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Shimon bekarkot. Rebbe said like this, when I said I accept what's going on, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, with regards the machlok between them and Rabbi Shimon, with regards to land, I accept. Why? Sha'af Rabbi Shimon nor yechlak alav metaltin. In other words, Rebbe's telling us, we thought in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon were arguing about land and metaltin. Rebbe says, no. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon aren't arguing about land. They agree about land. They only argue about metaltin. Rabbi Yehuda says, even metaltin they can't do. Rabbi Shimon says, metaltin they can do. And I accept only, I accept what Rabbi Shimon said with regards to the metaltin, because there isn't a machlokin in land. And even Rabbi Shimon would agree that with makarkin, with land, you can't do a cherem. Okay. If you're convinced, you're convinced. That's how the Gemara ends off. Okay, now the Gemara brings a new question. Right? Amar Bechibar Avin. Bechibar Avin gives a halacha. He says a couple of halachas now. We'll see two of them now. The Gemara will take a break for about 10 lines and then come back and give his third halacha. So Bechibar Avin says like this. Hechrim metaltelin. If a person makes a cherim metaltelin, it takes movable objects, and he donates them, he makes a cherim, right? A donation in terms of a cherim to the Bala Mishnah, to the Kohanim. So if you look at, if you've got Rabbanu Gershom here, you've all got Rabbanu Gershom on your you all got arts cross, right? If you look at the very last line there, Rabbanu Gershom, he says, but Yisrael, we're speaking here about a Yisrael, not about a Kohen Levi, Yisrael who makes a Cherem, right? So he said like this, Notnan Lechol Kohen Sheyirtze. Quite amazing halacha, right? He says, you want to make a donation now, Becharim, you can choose the Kohen. So if you've got a friend who's a Kohen, you can give him yours. You've got no limitation who to give it to. When it comes to metaltalin, right, with regards to movable objects. However, Kol Cherim B'Yisrael, right, why? Because you bring the Pasuk, Shdemar, Kol Cherim B'Yisrael, Lecha Yiyeh, that's a Pasuk spoken to Aaron, says Rashi, and to all his children, and therefore all his children are included. So all the Kohanim are included in this Cherim. However, says Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, Hechrim Sedotav, if you machrim your field, right, your ancestral field, there you got a limitation. Now you can't choose who to give it to. There, notnan lekohen sheboto mishmar. There, you know, the Baramidas was divided up into lots of mishmarot. Every week, the Kohanim families would change shifts, and there'd be a different family coming in. They come in on Shabbos, they leave on a Shabbos, basically they'd come Shabbos, so they'd work Shabbos to Shabbos, and then on Sunday they'd go home. But ready, and the new shift would come on Shabbos as well, and work Shabbos. So you've always got in a Shabbos, the outgoing shift and the incoming shift.
It's like Tamshi.
It's like Tamshi, yeah. But Tamshi, I think, is limited. You have a Shabbos to Shabbos, isn't it? Sunday to Friday or whatever, like a, right? Yeah. Shabbos to Shabbos. So here you go. Okay, so here you got Shabbos to Shabbos. But ready, we'll see. I mentioned that for the third halacha of Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, we'll see in a second. But remember that the shifts arrive on a Saturday, and they were there till Shabbos, and they left on a Sunday. So that you'd always have on any given Shabbos, the incoming shift and the outgoing shift. So we'll see who to in a second, not so straightforward. But says Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, when it comes to land, you're limited to give the land to the shift on duty at the time of your donation. So you can't choose a coin if he's not working in the Amidash, right? You've got to wait until he comes there if you want to be specific and give it to him. Otherwise, you've got to give it to the Kohanim that were there. And where do we learn from Shalem? I've got a Pasuk. Right? So that, we'll see in a second, that Pasuk, where it comes from. The Pasuk has Vayikra as well. So Vayasadeh B'tzeto B'Yovel. Right? We remember we learned that in the last few Dapim, that at the end of the Yovel, any land, remember we learned this Aloha in a few Daf ago? That any land that you had donated to the Amidash and you hadn't redeemed up until the Yovel, the Gizbar, the treasury had sold it to somebody else, at the end of the Yovel, or on the Yovel, it comes back to the Kohanim and they get it, you lose it out. So that passage says, go back to the Yovel, the Gemara says, yeah, same thing. And we've got Exar and Shavi, yeah, it's quite interesting what the Gemara brings us in here, I won't go into that, it says, the Gamma Lakoen Lakoen Migezla Ger. So you know, Gezel Ager, right? Gezel Ager, if you stole something from a Ger, from a convert. Now, we know that in a halachic point of view, there's no Jew in the world who hasn't got what's called a Goel, somebody who can redeem him. Everybody's got a family, all the way back to Yaakov Avinu at least, right? So that, the only example that the Gemara brings of a person who hasn't got a Goel would be a Ger. Let's say a Ger who converted and never had children after he got married, after he converted. So therefore, he's really hasn't got any Goalim because he's a loner, right? From a halachic point of view. From a halachic point of view, his parents aren't his parents, his children aren't his children. From a halachic point of view, Midor Raita.
From before
they converted. Even if they converted independently, they're not his children. You've got a crazy situation halachically. Two children convert together, they can marry each other, halachically midoraita. How are allowed? Because they aren't brother and sister from a halachic point of view. So there's no halachic midoraita, no implications on them from a halachic point of view. So that's why a ger is called, is the example the Gemara uses for a person who's got no relatives. So we got a case of a gezel ger. If you stole something from a ger, now you've got to bring it back. You want to do tshuva, you want to give it back, and the ger's died. So who do you give it back to? He's got no family. You've got none to give it to. So there you give it to the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash. You go to Beit HaMikdash, you go to the Kohanim. But in the Pasuk, you see the Pasuk over here? It says, V'im ein ish goel. So this is a Pasuk here in Bamidbar. If a person hasn't got a goel, who hasn't got a goel? Again, La'ashiv ha'asham elav, ha'asham ha'mushav. It goes to Hashem, and ha'mushav la'ashem la'kohen. From Hashem it goes to the Kohen. And the Pasuk says, Milvad ela kippurim. Other than this ela kippurim, right, which you bring on Yom Kippur, Asher Yechaper Bo Alav, which has to do kapara for. So you got to bring a korban, that goes to the Kohen. We'll see in a second what that means. So Gemara says, stops for a second and says, V'hatam, and I read about a ger, that goes to the Kohen. The Tanya Hashem La Kohen, from Hashem to the Kohen. Kena'o Hashem, Hashem acquires it, Unatno La Kohen, he gives it to the Kohen, Shebotom Bishmar. Right? So we're saying, just like we've got to the ger and say, Mishmar, so if you do a cherim, a metaltalin, of land, it goes to the Kohen. It's still in this little brighter here, asking the question about the Gezlager, where we know it goes to the Kohen and the Mishmar from Gezlager. Maybe it's any Kohen that you want to give, not any little Kohen on that God. So it says, no. Keshuomer, Milvad Ela Kippurim. You see, Milvad comes to exclude the Ela Kippurim. What's Ela Kippurim? Asher Chaper Bo Alav. What does it mean? Look at Rashi, yeah? Ela Kippurim, Harei b'kohen shel tov mishmar katub rebe. You got to do kapara. Right? Look at the hachakam a crash. La kohen mechaper bo bela kipurim yeh keren mechomish. Who does kapara for you? You got to get to have tshuva done on this project. You got to be a kohen. You have to have the kohen who's working in the Beit HaMikdash. He has to do the kohen for you. So that's that kohen who's always working in the Beit HaMikdash. The kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash are the ones that get the fields. Okay, so without one halacha, metaltlin as far as Rabbi Chaim is concerned, goes to any kohen that you want. Land has to go to the kohen in the Mishra. We saw the connection to Gezlakeh. Now, a third halacha, Rabbi Chaim Abin. Rashi points it out because it says here, Sadeh. A field now, Hayotzei Lakohanim Beyovel. Now we're going, nothing to do with Chayrim, but that halacha which we spoke about earlier on, that at the end of the Yovel period, at the end of the 49 years, when it comes to the Yovel, the land that wasn't claimed goes to the Kohanim. So it says Rabbi Chaim Abin, actually points out here, Hayotzei Rabbi Chaim Abin Ka'amarna, he's telling us this halacha. Right? Goes to the Kohen who is working, not now Lebishra Shavagabo Yovel, he's working at the time of the Yovel. Now, on that halacha, the Gemara asks a question. So now we know that the Kohanim who are working in the Yovel, they get the land. But what happens if we have a situation like this? Ibailo, a question was asked in the Beit Midrash. Pagabo, look, Rashi actually adds in a word there, Yovel. Pagabo Yovel b'Shabbat. The Yovel, the Yom Kippur of Yovel, happens to be a Shabbos. Right? Now what did I say about Shabbos? Shabbos, there are two shifts. Right? There's the incoming shift and the outgoing shift, but they're both there for Shabbos. So that Shabbos now is Yom Kippur of Yovel. And we said that who gets the land? The Kohanim will work in the Mishmar on that Yovel. But there are two Mishmarot on the Yovel when it comes Shabbos. So which Mishmar gets it? The outgoing Mishmar or the incoming Mishmar? Right? That's the Gemara's question. So Amr Abchir Bar Ami, who's not Abchir Bar Ami, they're different people, right? Sounds similar. He says, Mishmei de Chufana. Now, Chufana is an interesting word. I think, in fact, when I gave the shir this morning, there was somebody in my shir who had a Koren Steinsaltz, you know, the English Koren Steinsaltz. And he's got like a lot of information there on words and people, etc. Because I saw, you'll see here, that the Vilna Gaon changes this word Chufana to Upana. It's a note here in our Gemaras. He says there that it's the only time in the whole of Shasta that it appears is here. It's a word only used once here. And Upana, yeah. So Chufana, what did he say there? Oh, is the English says that Upana? That's amazing. Tell it to me. Has he actually changed it to Upana? Okay. But look in the Gemara itself, right? The word in the Gemara is Chufana. Look here. See this? It's Chufana. Here they've got Chufana in round brackets and Upana in square brackets. Round brackets means take out, square brackets means put in. That's how the Gemara is written. So the chufana upana becomes chufana becomes upana, and upana seems to be like a mesoret. There's a tradition in the Beit Midrash. This is what it means, right? And it's the only word. It's the only place in the Halachas that appears. Apparently, is on this amud. It's like Amar Chaim Bar Ami Mishmei de upana, right? In other words, we have a mesoret. We have a tradition. Notna le mishmar hayotzei. It goes to the outgoing mishmar, not the incoming mishmar, right? So the first one, the first in, right? They're the ones that get it. Right, so if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says over here, Hayotzei shebirshuto. Why? Hitchil hayovel emesh. In their mishmar, the yovel started already. Right, they, on Friday night they were already working. Yom Kippur was Shabbos. They the ones who worked on Friday. The ones who came for Shabbos, they already started working yet. They're starting to work now. They're going to start working. Only after Shabbos, the ones who were working, Taka, when Yovel entered, they the ones that get the land. That's their schut. Okay. Amram Nachman by Yitzchak. And Rachman said, we got a brighter. We'd support the same idea. Right, Amram Nachman by Yitzchak. Right, Rashi also says, yeah, the batar, hatchalas, we go after the first, the beginning, and not the end time, namiyachi. Right, what's the brighter? Nimtzeita taomer. Right. He says, Nimtzeit. It seems from here that you say, Echad Yovel, Vechad Shvi'it. If we've got a case now, it's a little bit complicated. We have a situation, Yovel's the 50th year, right? So Yovel always comes after a Shmita year. Because the Shmita is the 7th year of the 7th cycle. So you got Shmita, and then as Shmita goes out, Yovel kicks in. And if you remember a few daf ago, there was a Rabbi Yehuda, it was the opinion that Yovel was the 1st and the 50th. Remember that? The question is how Yovel fits in, but it doesn't, right. Whatever the case is, you've got Shmita is the 49th year, and then Yovel. Now, Yovel, we learned now already, we've learned in the last few daf, the land goes free and the slaves go free. Right? On the Yovel. On Shemitah, every Shemitah year, any debts that a person has become null and void. So Shemitah has a let's go debts. Yovel releases slaves and land. So we see that both Yovel and Shemitah have a releasing function. One leaves you from debt, one leaves you from land. Interesting thing with Shemitah is you don't have it in South Africa. But Israel became quite relevant a couple of years ago when it was a Shemitah year. And the question is, you write a prusbul. A prusbul is what Hila wrote, that protects your debts. The question is, do you have to write a prusbul at the beginning of the Shemitah? Or do you have to write, or can you wait till the end of Shemitah and write a prusbul and your debts are still safe? Because the machloket, when does the Shemitah undo the debt? At the beginning of the Shemitah year or the end of the Shemitah year? This Gemara here, clearly we'll see in a second, takes the view that the Shemitah undoes the debt at the end of the Shemitah year, when the Shemitah is about to finish. So if you haven't written a prusbul all the way up until the last day of Shemitah, you're still okay. And the Yovel kicks in when? At the beginning of the Yovel. Right? Now we know it's Yom Kippur. We'll see in a second this Gemara is slightly different. It seems to say Yom Shoshana. So you have that the Shemitah, the last day of Shemitah, is releasing the financial debts, and the first day of the Yovel, which is the next day, is releasing slaves and land. Right? So we're going to prove now from this that it's the incoming God of the Yovel which gets the land, because the debts are, the slaves and the land are undone at the beginning of the Yovel. So it's those who were there at the beginning. They wanted to bring a proof to what Rabbi Chiya bar Ami said, that we've got this Masorah, that the Yovel, the first group, get it, because the Yovel actually takes effect at the very beginning. And we want to prove it from here. So say like this. Echad Yovel, Echad Shemitah. You've got a year, one Yovel and one Shemitah year. Right? Look at Rashi there. Echad Yovel, Echad Shemitah, Meshamtin Ke'echad. Beyom Echad, on the same day. Shvi'it Meshametet, Havaot Ksafim. Shemitah year releases all the financial debts. Ve'yovel Mechirat Karkaot. And the Yovel, the sales of the land. Ela, other but the Gemara says, but what's taking place here? She Yovel betchilato vahashmita besofa. The Yovel at the beginning and the Shemitah at the end. It's the same day, right? The last day of Shemitah is the first day of Yovel. When? At Bein HaShmash. The Gemara is going to get very particular. At Bein HaShmash, what's Bein HaShmash? What's the word in English? Bein HaShmash?
Twilight.
At twilight, exactly, we're not sure whether it's the first day or the last day. It's the last day or the first day. At exact moment there, Shemitah works and you'll work. They work on the same day, right? So the Gemara proves that is the case. I'm going to get technical here. It says Adrabah and the other around. That's not really the proof that's the same day. It's because the same day is the proof that it takes place. It says, Mishum hachi hu ela eman bipneshu. The Gemara gets technical over here and just turns around. But basically, the principle over here is that it works on the same day. Now the Gemara says, okay, so now we understand Bishlam Shvi'it Besofa. Now the Gemara is asking questions on that proof. So he says, Bishlam Shvi'it, we understand Shvi'it Besofa works at the end. Dichtiv mikait sheva shanim, tashe shmita. Because we've got a pasuk over here, which is at the end of the 7 years, you do Shemitah. Right? So that seems to say pretty conclusively that the releasing of death takes place at the end of the Shemitah. Ela Yovel betchilato, but Yovel at the beginning. Right? We know. And when does Yovel take place? Yom Kippurimu, on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the 10th day, not the first day. How can the last day of Shemitah possibly be the same day as the Yovel? Because it's Rosh Hashanah. The last day of Shemitah comes to Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur. There's still another 10 days to go. So the Gemara says, no. Why? Because Yom Kippurim, Tavir Shavah B'chol HaTzachem. Quite a passage again, Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, no. This bride, who's this bride? According to Hamani, Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Osham, Yochman, Ben Merukahi. And what does he say? Da'amami Rosh Hashanah hu dechayil Yovel. See, it's not so straightforward. Now, there's a machloket here, Tanaim. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Rechav ben Ruchah says that on Rosh Hashanah it would work. We paska that at Yom Kippur. But he would be of the opinion of Rosh Hashanah, and this part of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, okay, now Shah Mechizkiya bar Bilut. Now we go back to our original story, which we spoke about at the beginning of the Amud, at the end of the Amud of Yair. Rabbi Chaim says, if you machrim, metalti, movable, any coin you want to give it to, and land, you've got to give it to the coin on the Mishmar. Now the Gemara says, like this. Lost my place. I'm showing off. Okay, Shama Chizkiya. So Chizkiya heard this svara over here, which Rav Chiya bar Avin, that Rashi points out, we said, right? Shama Chizkiya bar Biluti. V'azal Amar Kamed Rabbi Abahu, right? And he went and he told this to to Babiluti. And he said like this, I said, I don't understand. Why do you have a difference between metaltin and land? Belekish metaltin ekush. There's a hekesh. Why is it like metaltin goes to the karka goes to the coin on duty? So to metaltin. He says, isn't it love tana? Isn't it machlok tanaim? Dikid a makish, dikid lo makish. We saw earlier in the Mishnah already with the Shiva Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. Some makish, some do learn the hekesh between land and metaltin, some don't. And so this opinion of yes, command amrei lo makshinan. He's like I said, lo makish. If we've got a problem, we've got tanaim that we can run as well. Okay, let's quickly do this Mishnah. We say it half past, right? So we've got 3 minutes. Okay. Charmei Kohanim, Eilem Pidyon. Remember we said at the beginning of the show, I said to you, there's a difference between a cherim can either go to Kohen or to the Beit HaMikdash. Right? And here the Mishnah now says, what's the difference? A charmei, if you give a cherim to the Kohanim, to a Kohen, Ein Lahem Pidyon. You can't redeem it ever. Ela Notnim LaKohanim Ketrum. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matira says, Stam Cherim LaBedek HaBayit. So now the question is, when if we just say Stam Cherim, we don't mention who it is, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baruch ben Matira says, if you just mention, so we saw the Mishnah says, if it's to Kohen, there's no pidyon. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baruch ben Matira says, if you just mention a cherim without saying, go to the Kohen or to Bedek HaBayit, it goes to Bedek HaBayit, to the Beit HaMikdash, which means what? That you can redeem it. Because it's only Stam Kohanim that you can't redeem. If it's a Bedek HaBayit, you can redeem it. Shema kol cherim kol koshim ul Hashem. The Chachamim say no. Chachamim say Stam Charmim LaKohanim. They say that if you don't specify who your Charim is to, you give it actually to the Kohanim. And in that case, you'll be able to redeem it. So it's important to look at this. Because we know the halacha is no one argues. If it's to the Kohanim, you can't redeem it. It's there for God, for good. We've got a machloket tanaim over here. If you don't specify who it goes to, is it for the Kohanim or for the Bedek HaBayit? If it's Kohanim, you can't redeem it. Bedek HaBayit, you can redeem it. If it's Stam Kohen Yan Chachamim's question over here that Kol Cherim Stam goes to Kohanim, so why does the pasuk say, why does the pasuk the Mishnah tell us Lamanimar Kol Cherim Kodesh Kodashim Hu Lashem? Kodesh Kodashim Hu Lashem seems to imply that it goes to the Beit HaMikdash. It's holy of holies for Hashem. She says, now why? Shechal al Kodesh Kodashim v'al Kodesh Kodashim. Because it's coming to tell us that even Kodesh Kodashim and Kodesh Kodashim, if you've got korbanot. This is a big chiddush, right? Because what's a cherim? A cherim is I'm giving what I own to the Beit HaMikdash, to a kohen. If I've got if I've dedicated or sanctified an animal for a korban, it's not mine. So how can I now go and make it a cherim to the Beit HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, no. The chiddush here is that you can. We'll see in a second. You actually give the animal. You give the monetary value of the animal. But then it would depend if it's a kochei kochim or a kochei kalim. Is it like a chatat or an ola? Or is it like a shlami? A shlami anybody can eat, right? You can eat as well. A kochim, only the kohanim can eat. So we have a difference. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah explains. Machrim adamit kochav, ben kochei kochim, ben kochei kalim. So now a person will machrim his animal, whether it's an ola or a shlami. Now the Mishnah says it will depend if he gave it as a neder or a nedava. Remember, like a neder, what's a neder? A neder is, I make a neder, I say, haray, I lie. I am responsible to bring an animal to the Beit HaMikdash. Once I say I'm responsible, even if afterwards, I'm reading outside the Rashi's over here, even if afterwards I set aside an animal for that particular korban, it doesn't matter. Because even if that animal would die, it will get stolen, it will get lost, whatever the case would be, who's responsible? I've got to bring another animal in its place. If I say nedava, right, that animal is going to the Beit HaMikdash. If that animal now dies or gets lost, I'm not responsible to bring an animal in its place. Because my neder was on that animal, and therefore that animal only nothing. So there's a difference. Neder means me, nedava means the animal. So a neder is a higher level of responsibility, right? If I make a neder, so what am I saying? The value, my neder was to bring the value to the Beit HaMikdash. I happen to dedicate this animal. It makes a difference. The animal dies. I'm going to bring an animal in its place. So the value is really what I own. And therefore, I can bring the value to the Beit HaMikdash. On a nedava, if it's the animal, it's a little bit more complicated. Look, sorry, the Mishnah. It says like this. Mishnah explains. Im neder noten demehem. If it's a neder, say, gives the money to the Kohen, because he owned or he owed the money to the Beit HaMikdash, whatever would be the case. He had that monetary responsibility. The Nadavi was a Nadava, which was on that animal itself. It will die or would get lost. He wouldn't be responsible. He has a lesser responsibility in the animal. So how much money does he give to the Beit HaMikdash, the value of the Nadava? What is the value? That says the Mishnah, Noten et Tovatan. Tovatan means how much he would pay for the privilege I've been able to bring in a dava. Okay, so that's what you bring to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah tries to explain further on. Shor ze ola, if I say this ox is an ola, so I'm saying this ox, which is a nedava, not a nedra, I'm only responsible for this ox. Umadin, we assess, kama adam rotze litain b'shor ze la'alotu ola. How much, I want that ox. How much am I prepared to pay extra to buy from you that particular ox? Let's say the ox is worth 1,000. I'm prepared to pay you an extra 10%. Because I want that particular ox, that 10% is what I've got to bring to the Kohanim to give as a nedava. Afal pi she'en rasha, even though he's not chayv. And then if it's a bechor, now here's an interesting halacha with end of. Right? We know that a bechor, we all learned bechorot, bechor is not yours. Bechor has to go to the kohen. So the same question, how can you machrim a bechor? If you got a bechor, it's not yours. So Mishnah says, a bechor, bain tam, bain ba'amum, machrim to you can machrim, and how do you do it? The ketzat podimoton, you got to redeem what you do. Omdin kam adam rotili tam bechor zilit no, leben bito, leben achuto. So now we have a situation where if my sister married a kohen, and my nephew's a kohen, or my daughter married a kohen, now my grandchild's a kohen, and I know you got a bechor, how much am I prepared to pay you to give your bechor to my nephew or to my sister, to my grandchild? That's the inherent value of the umdan, which we're worth. That's the amount of money which you give to the Bara Migdash.